Welcome to the Milestone Mama Podcast. I'm your host, Chelsea Hollis, wife, boy mom, and former fitness instructor turned photographer, educator, and birth doula. Becoming a mom in 2020 completely changed my life. And even though it was the greatest joy I've ever felt, it definitely came with some challenges that no one could have ever prepared me for. But I found so much healing and community, and that's why this podcast was born. Tune in each week as we uncover all of the nuances of being a mom, from pregnancy, birth, postpartum, and everything in between. If you're ready to connect, to grow, to learn, to feel inspired, seen, and heard, then you've come to the right place. And I'm so glad you're here, Mama. Let's go ahead and get this thing started. All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Milestone Mama. I'm so excited because I'm catching up with my friend Lisa today on the podcast, and so much has happened since we last talked and I was on her podcast, the Prim and Clove podcast. So we're going to have such a fun conversation today about being a mom and managing your time and balance, which I'm using air quotations on the video because yes. I'm not even really sure if that exists, but that's the plan for today. And I'm so excited to have you here, Lisa.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here and catch up because it wasn't that long ago that we spoke, but it also feels like a lifetime has happened between then and now. And so it's always fun and just full of feelings to kind of catch up on life happenings and encourage one another, because I think we're both kind of in the same season of growing ourselves and our families and everything around us in so many different ways.
Absolutely. I know. I feel like when I was on your podcast, that was like over the summer or like May even. And so that just feels like a lifetime ago with everything that 2021 was. And I can't believe we're already in 2022, but thus is life, right?
Yeah. I can't believe it either. I kind of went into this new year thinking, oh, new year, fresh start, not naive, just, you know, new opportunities. And I got hit by a ton of bricks on like December 31st. And it was just this sign that, you know what, the fresh start of January 1st is, that's symbolism. And it's not all going to be fresh and new and good. And so I feel like I'm finally emerging. It's January 18th right now when we're recording. I'm finally like emerging into 2022, and bring it for me. I'm ready.
Yeah. I feel like the exact same way. And it's funny because when I used to work full-time in fitness, I've like worked at this big gym at a corporate facility, and we would always talk about this, how like the New Year's Eve, like new year, new fresh start thing didn't really ever come around until like almost February. Like that's when people were ready to come out of their cave and like actually start. But I think it's good to just kind of, like you said, take that sign to embrace a little bit of the transition in the down season, because you're going from hustle and bustle of crazy holiday season and coming down from that year into the new year. And it's like, you don't have any time to decompress or reflect or like set new goals or just kind of figure out what's been working and what's not. And I think taking that time is so important before like putting so much pressure on ourselves to do more and be more.
Yeah. I love that you recognized it's not just a flip of a switch. You know, you can't just sit down on December 31st for a few hours and have your whole goal list written out with your plan of action. I really had to think about it more than I've ever thought about it, and I'm still writing things down. And I think that's also symbolic of the idea that it's an ever evolving process to have goals and accomplish them and reach for more. And so I'm going to lean into that way more than a New Year's resolution. Like, what does growth really look like? And how can I stretch myself, which is beautiful and painful at the same time?
So yes, I'm getting started. That. I love that so much. Yeah. I've always been like a New Year intention kind of person rather than a resolution, just because resolutions feel so finite and they're just unrealistic in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah. It shouldn't be pass or fail. It should be you're working towards.
Yeah. Transformational, right?
Yeah.
Well, this all goes hand in hand with what we're going to be talking about today. But before we get too much further in the conversation, why don't you introduce yourself to everybody listening? Tell us a little bit more about who you are, maybe about your family and a little about your business.
Yeah, I'm Lisa Butcher, and I am a wife to my husband, Mark. I'm a mom to 4 little kids, ages 7, 6, 4, and 1.5. And I am the founder and CEO of Prim and Clove, which is a lifestyle brand really to make mom's lives simpler, sweeter, and more supported. And I don't know if we talked about this yet, the new founder and CEO of the Ambition Agency, which is a place where we are taking the title virtual assistant to a whole new level and offering women flexible, profitable, meaningful work through a certification program. And what I like to do when I introduce myself is lean into the fact that I am those things and I am so much more. I'm also a sister. I'm a friend. I'm actually a middle school Spanish proctor this year helping at my kids' school. I saw that. I'm a Bible study participant. I'm so many things. I think a lot of times when we're a mom, we can silo ourselves into wearing that one hat, but I am all about the fact that if we embrace all of these hats that we wear, we can actually be better in our role as a mom and as a wife and all of these other things by just being our whole person and bringing our whole selves to everything that we do.
Yes. And I love that you highlight and recognize that, because I think especially when you go through the transition of becoming a mom, like for the first time, there's such an identity shift, right? And it's hard to realize, like, you're not none of the things you were before.
Yeah.
And now you're just a mom. Like, you're still everything you were before. And now you're just serving an even greater purpose. But everything you started with is still there. And we just kind of have to find our way back to it. Right. And so that actually is the perfect segue into my next question, because people might be listening and hear everything that you just described and think, how the heck does she do all of that with 4 children and like balance it all and find the time to like keep your head above water? So tell us about maybe the contrast of what that was like for you, that identity shift with your first child when you first became a mom, and kind of the building blocks you've used to now get to the place that you're at now with 4.
Yeah, I actually struggled a lot when I became a mom in terms of that identity. I guess culture kind of convinced me to think that I should put more things aside than I actually wanted to. And part of this, looking back, is that I was in a very unfulfilling job at the time. And so my time, I felt like, was monopolized by only wanting to be with my daughter, because I felt like so much of my time was sucked away from being with her that it was really hard for me to find any sense of balance, if you can even call it that, of things to do being away from her and things to do being with her. And again, I was in this job full time that took me away from her. And I felt like I was stripped of these opportunities to watch her grow up, where in reality, looking back, if I would have been doing something more fulfilling, if I wouldn't have given up all of the other things that enriched my life because I was racing back to be with her, it could have been a little bit of a different experience. Don't get me wrong. I found joy. I was happy. I loved it. But there were a lot of invitations to go out to dinner that I hesitated about. Or, you know, if I would go for a run, I would go as fast as I could and come back and like not shower until she went to bed, because I felt like I just wanted that precious time with her. Also because I deeply, deeply love being a mother and feel like I waited all of my life. Like, you know, when you're asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? I always knew I wanted to be a mom. So I felt like that time finally came to fruition. So part of that transition was giving myself permission to evolve and to open my eyes about how do I value my time and my energy in my life, and then start making decisions accordingly. So having her actually kind of made all of these life shifts transpire for me. I didn't want her to grow up watching me be unhappy. And so it was this moment of, okay, I don't want to be unfulfilled in this career. I have these aspirations to do these other things. And now I'm going to show up so much better for her and for myself if I start making these really hard changes. I don't know if that's totally answering your question, but that's exactly what my heart was telling me. Is like, it wasn't easy, but it allowed me to take a step back and evaluate where I was and where I wanted to go, because I also knew we weren't done growing our family. She was our first, and I was, you know, hoping and prayerful for another child. And so how did I want my life to look when that would come to fruition for us too?
Yeah, absolutely. I can so relate to what you're saying about like going for a run and going as fast as you can. And you just feel all of this sense of guilt in the beginning when you're trying to figure out like the balance between literally just taking care of yourself and giving mm-hmm. yourself the space to mm-hmm. fulfill your own needs, right? Like taking a shower felt like, oh my gosh, I have to be quick. And what if they start crying and my husband needs help or whatever? It's just like this constant push and pull. I'll never forget when my parents came to visit, it was like, probably like a week or two after I had him. And my mom was like, I'll take him, just go get your nails done for like a couple of hours. And the whole time mm-hmm. I'm sitting there like twiddling my thumbs thinking, oh my gosh, I've been gone for so long. Like he's going to get hungry. I need to get home and nurse him. And oh my gosh. And I remember feeling this like weight of that. And it's a lot. But then somewhere along the lines, getting back to what you were saying about like being in a position of feeling fulfilled in what you're doing outside of that, right? Like in your career, for example, after, you know, like 8 weeks or so had gone by, I was like getting ready to get back into shooting and back to work. And I was so excited for that. Like I was mm-hmm. just ready to feel like a sense of normalcy and like a piece of myself back. But I didn't know what that was going to look like or how to balance it with nap times and like, when am I going to edit between pumping and nursing and all these crazy things that are now on my plate. And I was kind of like talking to people about this, reaching out to the community for help. Like, you know, what advice would you give me? And I would get so frustrated because all I was met with was like comments such as, you know, your only job right now is just to love on your baby. And I was like, yes, I obviously that's my number one priority. I know that, but also I want to do these other things. Like yes. That also makes me really happy. Not as happy as my child makes me, but it's such a big part of me. And like, I want to be able to fit that into my schedule and my life again. And eventually I figured it out, but I just realized like how powerful like words from other people can be, because then that made me almost feel more guilty for the desire to work again when there's all these other moms out there who feel like, oh my gosh, they wish they could be a stay-at-home mom, or they wish they could just quit their job and be home with their baby 24/7, which I completely understand. But I was there feeling like, why don't I feel like that? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So this makes me think of two things. One is that I read a book because, you know, I wasn't a parent before and I like to learn and I like to prepare. And so mm-hmm. I'm reading all these parenting books and it was like 12 hours by 12 weeks or something. And my husband had to take this book away from me because it stressed me out so much. I thought, I'm never going to see my child. She like, we're not even home for 12 hours for her to do that. Because by the time I have to leave in the morning and take her and drop her off before I get to work and then come home and feed her dinner, I'm never going to have time with her. And then it was placing that feeling on me of, well, then I'm a terrible mom because I'm never going to see my child. So then I shouldn't work because I'm never going to see my child. And, you know, this whole tailspin, because this is so new to us and we don't always inherently know, we can take a step back and actually craft it however we want it to look, because there's so many people teaching us to do it a certain way, which is beautiful because mm-hmm. I've learned from so many different mothers. I ask so many different mothers for advice, but I think we also can get good at curating what feeds us and fuels us and like enhances and adds value to our own motherhood journey, and what we can just set aside and say, okay, that advice isn't for me, or that book isn't for me, or that's not going to work. And then the second piece of this is that I don't want any woman listening to this to think, okay, well, she's telling me that she went through this and she doesn't want me to go through this. I want to save you a little bit of heartache, but it's also this rite of passage where we get to learn how to tap into our own intuition, how to figure out what we like. Do we want to spend time away from our child because we have work that enriches us? Or are we that woman who would give anything to stay at home? That is so freaking cool that we can all be different. We can all have these things. And then let's not shame one another for it. Let's go through this rite of passage where we can figure out what we want our lives to look like and treat it as that. It's not going to be easy going through it, but you're going to come out on the other side and have something so rewarding to show from it, because this is new. We're not going to save you all of the mom guilt. We're not going to save you all of the heartache of maybe making a wrong decision. Heaven forbid you can even say that, and then reworking it to work out better for you. That is part of the process of becoming a mom. Not even the first time. I continually learn things, you know, fourth baby, and I still am like, okay, well, I probably should have known that by now, but I tried it a different way.
Yeah.
And now I will correct my path.
Yeah, exactly. 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 Like, amen to everything you just said. I was going to touch on that too. Like, this is simply just validation that we are all so different and we're all going to navigate that time in the way that feels best for us. Right. And there's no like perfect formula. I think the biggest thing that I want to ride home today and in terms of this topic is that those first, you know, few weeks and months should have just zero expectations, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you might feel like going back to work in a couple of weeks and you're excited about it, or you might feel like you need a whole lot more time than you ever thought you would, or you never want to even have anything to do with your career again. And like, we don't know until we go through it. And so just allow yourself to have the time and give yourself the grace to know that like, this is probably the biggest transformation and identity shift you'll ever go through in your life. And it's not meant to happen overnight. Your baby's not meant to be on any sort of schedule for ever, really, or like, I don't know that it's ever perfect, but really until at least like several months in, you're not going to find this like perfect sleep schedule. And it's hard though these days, especially like with social media. And
yes,
I remember when I was going through it, there was like this huge cluster of influencers who happened to have babies like right around the same time I had Silas, and like they were like a little bit ahead of me, I think. And I remember seeing all their stories about how their baby was like sleeping through the night at a few weeks old. And I was like, oh my God, what am I doing wrong? Like, I'm up every 45 minutes. Like, what the heck? And then I dug a little deeper and saw they had night nurses. And I was like, okay, well, I don't have a night nurse. So that makes me feel a little bit better and brought me right back down to earth. So that's kind of going on a tangent, but
knowledge is power. You need all the facts to be able to evaluate the situation.
Exactly.
Comparison is not apples to apples too.
Absolutely. So getting back to what you just mentioned about, you know, each new child was a new learning curve for you. What specific like tools did you bring with you each time, or maybe like boundaries that you set or realizations that you had that kind of helped you navigate each time you put more on your plate with a new baby?
Yeah. I think there's a list of things. One of them is taking time for myself and making that a priority rather than making it feel like, oh, someone's telling me that I should do this, or they say I'll be better if I take time for myself. Really do it so that it's filling me back up and doing the things that I love and that are going to make me a better me, and not sitting getting my manicure and being like, okay, when is this gonna be done? This is taking too long. I have the jitters because I should have been home by now. Just taking like a total breather and a step back and realizing that these things matter. Another thing is making decisions to say yes or no to things based on what I really valued and what I really wanted to do. So not saying yes to things out of obligation, not saying no to things and harboring any guilt or feelings about it. I mean, no is a complete sentence and we can move forward from that. When my first three were little, kind of through that whole phase, Mark worked a lot. He still does, my husband, and traveled almost every week for work. So I also was in this situation where my capacity was very limited. So I was working, I was taking care of the household because he was gone a lot of the days of the week. And so I needed to also view it as I'm focused when I need to be. And then when he's home, I can get the breather. And I know that's not ideal in every circumstance, because when we're working on things, we're like, okay, we got to move the needle forward, or, you know, you have to get to the doctor's appointment, but you have to take all three of them. And that's going to be so hard. It was this mindset shift of, this is how it is. I'm going to be able to do this. I'm going to get a breather when he comes home. And just kind of re-looking at my time as a whole. I know another not ideal is working on things at night, but when I want to say, I don't even know how to put it in the right words. It's like the only kind of free time that I had. And so instead of feeling burdened by it, I decided to like make it fun. And I'd make myself a cup of tea or grab a glass of wine after my kids were in bed and get excited about the things that I was doing, rather than always coming at it from the lens of, I wish this was different, or I wish I had more time, or I wish this wasn't at 8:30 at night. Just really coming from almost a place of gratitude, I would say. And like the tools and strategies about this are mentally preparing for always having the unexpected to happen. Is it a sick child? Is it canceled childcare? Is it Mark's flight home got canceled, and so he's going to be gone for one more day? Also building resiliency, because especially as a mother, I think we just learn very fast that things aren't going to go as planned. Like maybe your nap time isn't going to last as long as you had hoped for. And so how can you roll with the punches and not let that totally throw off what you're doing and the energy that you're bringing to your day? Okay. So another piece of this is I am a very organized person. I'm type A. I like to be on top of things. And with each child, I've gotten even better at this skill set because it just helps us operate better. So a few things that I would always recommend to women are get efficient with your time and your household, because the more you bring in, the less you can do overall in terms of like, you can't just pile more on you. And so I have learned to outsource things. I've learned to delegate things. I've learned to ditch things on my schedule completely that I don't know. I just felt like I had to do it because I had to do it, and got really good at prioritizing, because again, we can't do everything. I think we can have our cake and eat it too, but that doesn't mean that you can do everything exactly the way that you want to do it. It might just look a little different than that quote unquote ideal.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that a lot of it comes down to, like you said, like the mindset and just expectations and prioritizing, because you do start to realize like, okay, does the laundry have to be folded today, or do I need to get to this appointment? Or, you know, it could be something as simple as that, where once you understand and accept that, like, oh, this is why am I putting this pressure on myself to get this unruly to-do list done in a day when like it doesn't need to be done in a day. Yeah. We just like put that in our own minds, right? That took me, I feel like, the longest to accept and realize. And I was like, you know what, if the house gets a little bit untidy for a little while, or I'm not on top of my meal planning and we need a little bit more takeout this week because work got crazy, it's okay. We're gonna all be fine, and we're gonna all live through that. And I think if I've learned anything, to reiterate what you said, you know, no is a complete sentence when it comes to other like commitments, or even like some inquiries that I get. Having a baby and becoming a mom was the biggest catalyst in giving me permission to set those boundaries and say no to things that I always would have just said, oh, well, why not? Like I have the time. So why not just like open that up on my calendar to take it on? Whereas now it's like, is it worth spending time away from family or my child? Is it worth the stress that it's going to put on me to have this other commitment? And if it doesn't like check off all the boxes, it's a no. And there's no need for explanation or shame in that either.
Yeah, absolutely not. So much of this is mindset work that we can improve on. There's something that I teach within Prim and Clove too, in terms of let's simplify, let's organize so that we can make our lives sweeter and more supportive. And an example of that is a meal plan, right? Seems super cool to have a meal plan every week, but we kind of set ourselves up to have this expectation of a meal plan means Pinterest worthy meals every night of the week. It doesn't. Let me just tell you, it doesn't. A meal plan could be tonight we're going to eat peanut butter sandwiches and carrots and chips. And tomorrow night we're going to get takeout. And just the fact that you thought about it ahead of time and you don't have to make those decisions in the moment and you already have the groceries ready, that is what takes everything off of your shoulders. It doesn't have to be this high bar. And I think we even talked about it when we recorded the episode where you were interviewing me. Social media puts us in a world where we think that things should be some way, and we need to take that should out of the equation and what works for us, how we feel, how our lives run. That is what matters more than anything we think we should do.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. So just to kind of wrap up this conversation, I have one more like kind of bigger question for you.
Okay.
So I know not everybody listening to this podcast is an entrepreneur, but some might be, or some might just feel ambitious in other ways. Mm-hmm. I talk about this really often. I did with Allie, my business coach, a whole lot, where I said, you know, I love the ambitious side of me. I love my drive. I love my passion for what I do. But there's some days that I wish I could just like flip a switch and just kind of like turn it off, because I feel like sometimes I have trouble with like shutting that down and like not having my mind be two places at once. Like when I want to be present as a mom, I want to just be present as a mom and not thinking about all the other things I could be doing or like the new ideas I have and how I can implement them and all that. And sometimes I just wish like I could stuff that down a little bit to be more present, you know?
Yeah.
So my question for you is, as an ambitious mom like this, who's, you know, running businesses and like starting new endeavors, are there practices you have in place for that where you're just like fully able to stay present in being a mom and focused when it's go time for work?
Yeah. I first want to recognize that you're not alone in feeling that way. I've written down multiple times, I've shared this with women multiple times, I am not good at working and being a mom at the same time because it's too much. I don't feel like I can give my 100% to either of them, and they both deserve my 100%. My business deserves me to give everything because it's part of my heart and I have this huge why behind it, and my kids deserve 150% of me. And so when I kind of wrote that down and started verbalizing that with women, I realized that I needed to somehow separate some of the hours, because obviously it's impossible to separate everything, right? Mm-hmm. It's not possible. But at first, I think back to the time where I was a stay-at-home mom for a while. And then I started really on this entrepreneurship journey a little bit in more of a fast pace. And I wanted to keep my kids home with me. And then I realized it was stressing me out more. So I took a little bit of time, and I had an amazing, generous mother-in-law who helped me at Free at first. And my kids just went there a few hours, like 2 days a week. And it gave me so much freedom in that time that I was able to pour in. That first of all, I was way more efficient because I'm not juggling interruptions and trying to refocus on my tasks. And then I felt like I could come back to them recharged, because working for me and working on something that I was creating fills me up in a really powerful way. And so I started showing up differently in the hours that I had dedicated to work and the hours that I had with my kids. Now, obviously it's grown since that time. And like I said to you before, I don't believe we can entirely separate things. So I've really worked on integrating or having an intersection, if you will, between both. I am a mom and I am a business owner. They're both a part of who I am. And I want my kids to see me working. I want my kids to see me happy. I want them to understand my why. I want them to understand why their dad and I both choose to work and how that makes a difference in our families' lives. You know, before I outsourced my fulfillment, my girls, I would sometimes have them on Saturday mornings come and help me pack packages or, you know, drop them off at UPS. And so I found little ways that they could be a part of things and not be overly stressed because they're around and I'm like trying to work and get things done, but really decide what could I try to juggle with them? And then what do I truly just need to separate my time for so that I can show up my best in both of the areas?
Yeah. I found that to be really true for me when it comes to like, we decided to get a sitter for 2 days a week where she comes in the mornings and puts him to his nap so that I get like from the time she gets there till the end of his nap to kind of have like a full, you know, work day. And on those days where I'm able to just grind out as much as I can, and I've definitely gotten way more efficient with being a mom and like the nap time hustle than I used to be when I used to just have all the time in the world, you know. But when I finish like a day of work and I know that I accomplished at least, you know, my top couple of things on my to-do list, then when he wakes up from his nap, I feel like I can just take a deep breath, like close the office door and be so much more present. Whereas before I was trying to like work off of every single nap and squeeze everything in and kind of be answering emails on my phone while I was trying to play with him. And sometimes that still ends up happening, you know, it's kind of inevitable when your business is so intertwined with your life, but having that closure, I guess, is so, so fulfilling.
It is. And one other thing that I just want to mention is that, again, with these mindset shifts, if we can operate out of a place of abundance instead of scarcity, feeling like we don't have enough time or we can never get these things done, whereas there is infinite opportunity in front of us and the work isn't all supposed to be done today. Otherwise, where's your job security? Like, you're going to get to show up tomorrow. You're going to get to show up tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. And so again, like balancing that, what can I do today? What are the priorities? What could I outsource? What could I just set down for now? Because it's going to be okay if I set it down, making those decisions out of this abundance and gratitude and just being appreciative for where you're at, because we're really freaking hard on ourselves. Can we just admit that? We hold ourselves to these standards. We compare ourselves to others. Let's be here and now. And, you know, one of my most powerful reminders, I set up a postpartum mantra after I had my fourth baby because he was a pandemic baby and I was kind of worried about being a mom of four and, you know, figuring it all out, was just be where my feet are planted. So if my child needs me right here and right now, I'm going to be here and I'm not going to let the worries or the work even enter my mind in this moment. And it's transferred to so much more of a life mantra than a postpartum mantra. Because it really centers me into being where I am. And then my work translation of that is people over projects always. So if someone needs me, I'm there. If someone who, you know, I brought on my team needs to talk about something personal before we start a work meeting, or I just like lead with catching up first before we get down to business, you just bring your values to what you're doing. And if it's a mantra that can remind you of doing that, it will help you in so many ways.
I love both of those. And it's so true what you said too. We can even think about like our job as a mom separately from our, you know, actual job, and that any other job doesn't expect you to get literally a week's worth of work done in a day.
Yeah.
But somehow as moms with those tasks and as entrepreneurs with those tasks, we think that for ourselves, like there's just this internal pressure that, oh, well, I didn't finish A, B, and C, but then I have to remind myself, oh, when I used to work a 9-to-5 and I just like left for the day, no one asked me, like, that was fine. No one was coming after me with the last couple of things on my to-do list, waving it, you know, behind me as I walked out the door. So it's so important to know. Well, in the spirit of, you know, not being able to control things, Silas is awake. I can hear him yelling in his crib. So
oh my gosh.
We will mom wrap duty this calls. Up. And mom calls. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you if they want to connect outside of the podcast?
Please come connect. Community is everything in this journey that we're doing, whether it is raising our children or growing our businesses. So I would love to meet you. My personal Instagram is at lisa.betcher, and Prim and Clove is my business Instagram. And my latest business venture is theambition.agency. And so head on over there, send a DM, shop a little, because we are creating things exactly for you. And I just can't wait to meet. So thank you so much for this opportunity. It's always such a joy to connect with you, and our like-mindedness just gives me such a reminder and a renewed spirit that we can do this and we're meant to do it together.
Oh, thank you. Well, likewise, it's always such a pleasure. Well, now there goes my dog. I don't know if you can hear her. Wild hustle over here today. Well, thank you. So, you know, thank you so much, Lisa. And thank you, listeners. Please go connect with her. I will link everything she just mentioned in the show notes too for quicker access. And until next week, have a beautiful day.